Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to NFL Live. The rookies were on the field at camp across the league this week, and we'll take you inside the Eagles' plans for their new DBs and why Saquon Barkley really matters for their offense. Stay in the NFC East. Plus, an unprecedented look at the Cowboys' Micah Parsons through the lens of two Cowboys legends and what he needs to do to get Dallas some playoff wins. And J.J. Watt said he would be ready for a comeback if the Texans need him. We'll give you the details on if it's happening later in the program. Kevin Agani here for Laura Rutledge. And joining us here for the next 60 minutes, we've got Mina Kimes, and we've got Sam Acho, and we've got new video coming in on NFL Live. Check this out. Joe Burrow. Yes, Joe Burrow back and throwing on the practice field. Burrow returning from a torn wrist ligament that needed surgery in November. Looks like he'll be available for the offseason program. Bengals fans feeling really good seeing number 9 there for the first time since November. Mina, with Burrow back here, what are your expectations for this Bengals offense?
Yeah, well, assuming that Burrow is fully healthy and isn't struggling with mobility in the way that we kind of saw at times last year, right? Even when he came back from the injury, you could see he wasn't moving the same before he got hurt again. I kind of expect the offense to look pretty similar to how it has looked in recent years. Yes, they lost play caller Brian Callahan to Tennessee, but Zach Taylor has called plays before. He's going to resume that. So I think schematically it's going to look pretty similar. And then while we weren't sure if T. Higgins was going to return, it does look like they will have sort of a last dance with him and Chase. So to me, the only real question about this offense I have is the third passing option. Tyler Boyd is still a free agent. Trenton Irwin is probably wide receiver 3 now. Mike Gesicki is the starting tight end. And this is important for the Cincinnati Bengals because so often you see they face split safety coverages, defenses oriented towards taking away their first and second wide receivers. So that third option becomes very significant. Who can work over the middle of the field? Who can get them yards after the catch? Who is an outlet for Joe Burrow? That, I think, is what remains to be seen.
Yeah, definitely remains to be seen. But a healthy Joe Burrow should cause and strike fear in a lot of the AFC, period. Why do I say that? I've been training this offseason a little bit with Ja'Marr Chase, or at least seeing him train. And I've had a chance to have conversations with him. And he says, man, the only issue, and we all know this, anybody says this, the only issue is Joe Burrow staying healthy. When he's healthy, of course, this team obviously is Super Bowl caliber, championship caliber, year in and year out. So a healthy Joe Burrow that we're seeing right now in early May, imagine being fully healthy come September, October, November, even December. It's going to be a problem for any defense in the AFC.
And keep in mind, they went offensive line day one in the NFL draft. They lose Joe Mixon in the offseason. Everybody, I mean, the Bengals, they're happy, but everybody's chasing one guy, and that is Patrick Mahomes. And day after we saw Mahomes at the F1 race, let's continue here with some speed at Chiefs rookie camp over the weekend, where all eyes are on first-round pick Xavier Worthy, the former Texas star listed at 6'1", 172 pounds, clocking in with that 4.21 in the 40 at the combine. All the conversation, size.
I don't think I took big hits. I delivered them, but I feel like it's not going to be a problem. I feel like just understanding your strengths and your weaknesses, I feel like that's the big thing in the league. Don't obviously try to go hit a 215-pound linebacker. So just understanding your way, understanding your strengths, like I said, and D-Jack was obviously, he came in the league 169 and understood his strengths. So just using your strengths to your strength.
That is key. He said D-Jack. Yeah, that is DeSean Jackson. There have been just 3 receivers who got 900 or more yards in their rookie season at 175 pounds or fewer since the merger. 2 of the 3 happened in the last 3 seasons. Devontae Smith, 2021, Jordan Addison last season, and then DeSean Jackson, the only other player to do it, and he had 912 in 2008 in Andy Reid's system when he was with the Eagles. And of course, we know it's Andy Reid's system in Kansas City. So, Acho, how does Worthy change this offense here for the Chiefs?
He changes the offense in multiple ways. Number one, he gives them that deep play threat, that 4-2-1 speed. But it's not just that deep play threat. He's an elite, or at least a top-level route runner. That's what you see when you turn on the tape for Xavier Worthy. You see him taking the top off of defenses. We also see him intermediate routes. You see him even low in the red zone. Like, he does so much for this offense. At least he did it in college for the last 3 years. Big 12 freshman of the year. Give him a pass, and boom, he'll take it 60 yards. That's elite-level speed that cannot be coached. And so when I see Xavier Worthy in this offense, I see, yes, the deep ball availability, but also the intermediate passes as well, which he put on tape in college.
We have seen the Chiefs, Mina, through the years, especially the last couple of years, when you look at Mahomes' contract, they have to have impact rookies. Rashee Rice's availability, uncertain after he was involved in a high-speed six-car crash in Dallas last month. If he's out, is there another rookie outside of Worthy who you think could get more playing time here?
Yeah, it's their fourth-round draft pick, the tight end out of TCU, Jared Wiley. Super athletic, has the size. He's a red zone target, had 8 touchdowns TCU last year. But perhaps most importantly when it pertains to the Chiefs, this is a team that loves to put multiple tight ends on the field. 12, 13 personnel over the last couple of years, routinely in the top of the league, particularly when they haven't had the greatest group of wide receivers to work with. And if Rice is out, I wouldn't be surprised if they go back to that well because of the mismatches it creates. Heck, if those tight ends are on the field and Worthy is the receiver, he will have opportunities downfield. They also obviously extended Travis Kelce, but they brought in Irv Smith Jr. So I'll be curious to see how they mix these tight ends, what sorts of roles they see for them. But I would not be surprised if we see all of them on the field fairly early.
By the way, Wiley can adapt. Keep in mind, this will be Wiley's 6th different offense in the last 6 years. So that rookie understands transferring from Texas to TCU, all the different offenses. He will slide perfectly in there with that 4th-round pick behind Travis Kelce. Now, Worthy's new teammates, Juwan Taylor and Mike Pennell, each weighing 330 pounds, exactly twice as much as Worthy weighed in at the combine. Now, let's take another look here specifically on size. The 326-pound BYU rookie, Kingsley Suamataia, on the new quarterback and joining Patrick Mahomes in this offense.
Patrick, he was probably the second guy that hit me up, just getting ready. He said he's fired up, so I'm just trying to get in the playbook as fast as I can, just to, you know, best help our O-line and the team. So Patrick has been a great mentor as well. Just waking up to a message from him, it just blows my mind.
Mina, when you look at this offensive line, by the way, this is a mountain of a man coming from BYU. What do you expect to see here from this line in protecting number 15?
Yeah, well, Kevin, this is the flip side of us saying Patrick Mahomes is going to air the ball downfield. This offense is going to be explosive again. He has to have time. So the offensive line, which they have invested a great deal in over the last few years, has to hold up for Patrick to do so. Left tackle is still a bit of a question mark, right? Because Donovan Smith, who was their starter last year, is a free agent. Now, he could come back to the Chiefs. He's probably waiting to see what his best offer is. But if he's not on the team, you're looking at potentially a competition between Wanya Morris, who was on the team last year, and then Suamataia, who they drafted this season. It's a little bit nerve-wracking because it's not a lot of experience on that offensive line. But the rest of the line, there is a lot of continuity, which should ease the transition for whoever becomes the starter on the left side.
And Mina, to your point, there's not a lot of experience when it comes to like years in the league, but there is experience when it comes to playing in championships. Look at Trey Smith, right guard. He's won and played in 2 Super Bowls. You look at Creed Humphrey, a young player as well, but one of the best centers in the game. And so I understand the feel that, man, this offensive line isn't experienced. And man, what are going to be the answers? But I think that they have the answers already on that interior of the offensive line. Now, to your point, what are you going to do at tackle? Those are questions that need to be answered. But when it comes to sometimes the way that certain offenses are run, you want to have that pressure at least relieved from the inside out. I think they have that with Creed Humphrey. They have that with Trey Smith, guys who have played in and won Super Bowls, young players, but talented and experienced.
Yeah, the most consistent thing is the head coach, the quarterback, and the tight end in this offense, despite just averaging just under 22 points per game in 2023. That's the lowest of, by the way. You got to go all the way back to Patrick Mahomes' junior year in high school, and they still won the Super Bowl. Speaking of Mahomes, he keeps on winning. Check out this throw from the Miami Formula One race yesterday. The Super Bowl MVP. Come on now. My goodness. Keep in mind, he has recently invested in a Formula One team. He can do it all, even just looking as cool and calm and as accurate as ever in Miami, and he is making that stadium his own, no doubt about it. All right, staying there in South Florida, and Odell Beckham Jr. is going to call that stadium home this upcoming season. The Dolphins adding an interesting weapon this weekend with Beckham Jr. That deal 1 year, reported by the NFL Network, it's worth $3 million with incentives that could push it to a max value to over $8 million. The Dolphins receivers, by the way, ranked in the top four in yards, yards per reception, first downs, and touchdowns last season. Even though his time was limited, OBJ still managed a lot of big plays, averaging over 16 yards per catch last year, seventh best in the NFL. Keep in mind, last year with the Ravens, Beckham had 35 catches, three touchdowns. Again, the key for OBJ, can he stay healthy? Acho, what do you think of this signing here in South Florida in this offense?
Yeah, I think it's a good signing, but not for the reason others may think. I think this signing is good for a guy like Jalen Waddle, a guy who is a younger player in the league. And yes, he has Tyreek Hill, but they have a dude like Odell Beckham Jr. who has experience in the NFL for so many years. So now all of a sudden you have another veteran locker room presence, a veteran wide receiver room presence to help develop the younger guys in that room. And yes, Tyreek is Tyreek. He's going to be dominant, but also Jalen Waddle has another voice in that room. And so for me, I think the benefit of this signing is, yes, another security blanket for your quarterback, Tua, but also the mentorship, the experience in that wide receiver room. I think it'll be a great trio.
All right, Mina, let's go to the other side now. So they add the offense, but then you take a look at the defensive side. They had to have a lot of cuts to kind of figure out the cap in the offseason. And then they lose the DC and Vic Fangio. How will that impact this team moving forward?
Yeah, OBJ is not the only former Raven joining Miami, because their new defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver, coached that defensive line, which was so successful in Baltimore. And for me, it makes this really interesting, because I'll be curious to see how much he borrows from that Baltimore defense under Mike McDonald, who's now the head coach of the Seahawks, which is quite different from what they've run in Miami. Will we see more simulated pressure? Some of the additions that they made in free agency, I think, fit that quite well. Jordan Brooks, the linebacker off of Seattle, I could see playing that Patrick Queen role where he's sometimes lined up on the line of scrimmage, a threat to blitz, dropping into coverage other times. How is Jalen Ramsey, deployed in sub packages? Do they move him onside? Do they blitz him? Do they use his versatility as a weapon? Lots of questions, I think, to be answered by this new defensive coordinator in terms of scheme. They do have some new players to work with also on the defensive line. First-round draft pick Chop Robinson is the edge rusher. You bring in Shaq Barrett. That should alleviate some of the issues they have as Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb work their way back from injury, too.
And I love the last point you made, Mina, about the injury. The Dolphins' defense struggled last year. I don't think it was because of Vic Fangio. I think it was really because of injury. You talk about it. Jalen Phillips went down. Bradley Chubb went down. I mean, they were on their third inside linebacker. And so you're watching tape last year saying, man, why is this defense struggling? Well, they're on third string players. And so I think those additions, Shaq Barrett, Chop Robinson, are going to be huge. But it'll be interesting to see, or maybe more difficult to try and implement Vic's defense when Anthony Weaver doesn't come from that type of system.
You talk about the additions, too. Again, you got to have a healthy Jalen Ramsey, but they also added that Kendall Fuller and Jordan Poyer this spring. Can they stay on the field? That veteran leadership you add in that secondary, again, a completely revamped look there for the Dolphins. We're just getting started here on NFL Live. The Cowboys had one of the best defenses in the league last year before getting shredded by Jordan Love and the Packers in the playoffs. Hear why Mina believes there's still a massive hole in that unit. Plus, Jets rookie wide receiver Malachi Corley has an interesting plan to learn as much as he can before the season. Hear what it is and how Aaron Rodgers fits into all of that. NFL Live is brought to you by Ace. 100 years of helpful and new Prone Enamel Repair Mouthwash actively repairs enamel beyond brushing alone. I came in the trap,
nothing but some wraps to close on my back. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The weekend UFL slate packed. Saturday, the Showboats face the Renegades, 1 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Then it's the Battlehawks and Stallions on Fox at 4 Eastern on Sunday. Doubleheader on ESPN, the Panthers and Defenders at noon, and the Brahmas and the Roughnecks right after that.
Brady.
Yeah, Coach.
You're in. Let's go.
Let's go. Again?
Tonight is about celebrating everything Tom Brady stands for.
He is so good looking.
Who's laughing now, Tom? Not you, because your face can't move and you don't have a sense of humor.
Who takes this picture?
It's so great the way that you're showing everyone that even after winning 7 Super Bowls, you can still have a midlife crisis.
You have 7 rings. Well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back, but...
Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job. Do another job. Do somebody else's job.
Oh, man.
Sound it out, Rob. Sound it out.
All right. Oh, yeah, we're doing a shot.
I said don't leave him up here by himself.
And don't worry, it doesn't have any strawberries in it, Tom. Nightshades, inflammation, whatever you're talking about. And it was approved by your mom and Bill's boss, Alex Guerrero.
Bill, let's make the uncomfortable uncomfortable, right?
So, cheers.
Yes, he spiked a shot glass. The Brady Roast lived up to its billing last night live. Some great stuff from Gronk, Belichick, and a handful of comedians. And that was just a clean version. Mina, you were there last night. How was it?
Yeah. It was very funny. I guess takeaways, Tom was a very good sport. Mm. I was early on, I was like, wow, he's really sitting through all this. Okay, that is the most I've ever seen Bill Belichick smile and laugh. It was actually astounding. Drew Bledsoe surprisingly killed it, yep. I thought. I was shocked by how good he was. And Nikki Glaser was the funniest out of everyone. But all told, I thought it was really, really funny.
Nikki Glaser crushed it, by the way, and stuff that we can't so air. Funny. But if you see it, you'll understand. And by the way, we saw Peyton on stage introducing Brady. And, of course, little brother Eli getting in on the fun as well. Posting this, I thought about attending the roast of Tom Brady last night, but I did not want to roast him for a third time. Well done. Kevin Hart was outstanding as the host. Time now to read and react to some sound from around the NFL, starting at Jets camp, where rookie wide receiver Malachi Corley spoke about his current living situation.
So I've had conversations with him. He said I can stay in his guest house if I want to. So, yeah, me and him are close. That's going to be my dog while I'm here. No doubt.
Are you going to take Aaron up on the guest house?
Yeah, I damn right will. Yeah, no rent free, man. I'll throw him a little bit, you know. But, yeah, I'm a young guy. I'm just trying to stay with him, you know, bother him, just be a little fly on the wall.
That is a smart rookie. Acho, what do you think of the gesture by Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it's brilliant. It's brilliant by Aaron Rodgers, but even more brilliant by Malachi Corley. The more you can get in tune with your quarterback, stay in his guest house, watch film with him, whatever it takes, especially when that quarterback's name is Aaron Rodgers, the better it will be for you as a rookie and for the entirety of your career. Smart move, Malachi Corley.
All right, let's go to Seattle, where new head coach Mike McDonald spoke about rookie defensive tackle Byron Murphy here, the big man from Texas. Let's listen in.
Tough to really truly evaluate because of the tempo, but just overall good start. You know, we're not going to crown him right now on he's the next best defensive tackle of all time, but I mean, we're really excited about it, and shows all the bend and the strength at the point of attack and acceleration. need him to get in a little bit better shape, you know, so he can get through a whole practice and fly around like we expect him to. But he understands that, just like the rest of these guys. It's so hard to stay in this elite shape the way the calendar's set up. So he'll get there, but we'll be pushing him in the meantime.
Mina, let's read between the lines. What did drafting Murphy tell you about McDonald's plans for this defense?
Yes, it's an interesting pick because I do think they felt he was the best player available defensively, but it also felt like a bit of a statement of intent for the new head coach, which is he wants to build this defense from the inside out, similarly to how Baltimore was built. And now the interior of this defensive line in Seattle is a strength. It's not just Murphy. It's also Leonard Williams, who they gave a big contract, Draymond Jones, who they're paying a lot of money. They're actually saving on the edge, and I think that's going to be the bigger challenge for Mike McDonald, not getting pressure up the interior, but how you manufacture pressure from the outside, given that they haven't invested as much there.
Let's stay in that pressure conversation. Let's go to Cleveland, where Browns GM Andrew Berry spoke about his expectations for Deshaun Watson this upcoming season.
He's in a really good spot, you know, mentally, physically. Obviously, he's been rehabbing the shoulder injury, but he's well on his way there. I think he's a lot more comfortable within the organization. You know, we have a core group of guys on offense that have now played together for a number of years, and you know, we do have high expectations for him and the offense this season.
Acho, what's your confidence that Watson can still be the answer for this Browns team?
It's high. My confidence is high in Deshaun Watson and this Browns offense. Last year before the injury, Deshaun Watson was 5-1, 5 wins, 1 loss. And so we understand that, yes, the defense was one of the top defense, at least number one when it comes to yards in the NFL, but it was also his offensive prowess that he was getting back to after an extended hiatus.
I mean, Deshaun Watson is really the only question I have about this team because the roster is stacked on both sides of the ball. I think this is one of the top five rosters, maybe in the NFL. Defensively, they return pretty much everyone. You get year two under Jim Schwartz, who did a really fantastic job year one. I really like Michael Hall, who's a defensive tackle that they drafted, the defensive lineman, pardon me, that they drafted this year. And then offensively, it's still a very, very strong group. You traded for Jerry Jeudy. Hopefully the offensive line is healthier and Nick Chubb comes back from the injury. But undeniably, it's a fantastic situation for a quarterback. We saw that because, you know, 38-year-old Joe Flacco rocked right into it and took it to the playoffs, right? So to me, there's as much pressure on Watson as any quarterback in football because he is not facing a lot of adversity in terms of his surroundings in Cleveland.
Flacco coming off the couch and reviving his career here in Cleveland. And one of the big reasons why, Acho, was that defense. How do you view this defense when it comes to long-term success for this team?
I expect even more success from this defense. I got a chance to talk with Grant Delpit, one of their star safeties, over this offseason. And I was talking with him and some other players, and he was like, hey, man, don't forget who the number one defense in the league was last year. That was his Cleveland Browns defense. But think about it. That's at the secondary level. Let's go to the linebacker level. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, one of the best inside linebackers in the entire league. And if that's not enough, let's go to the defensive line. Now you have a stud in Myles Garrett. Once again, defensive player of the year. One of the best defensive players in the entire league. And so at every single level of this defense, not only do you have studs, but you have stars. And oh, by the way, you have the coordinator coming back, now an extra level and layer that they can go to when it comes to practices and also games.
Mina brought it up specifically about the one question mark at quarterback. Watson has a 42 total QBR in two seasons in Cleveland. He had a 68 QBR in his 4 years in Houston, which was the fourth best in the NFL during that span. If he could try to match those Houston days, this team is dangerous in a stacked AFC. Speaking of dangerous, coming up, Micah Parsons has been a game wrecker since day one, and his domination has already caught the eye of some legendary Cowboys.
He has all the tools of the Lawrence Taylor, a knack to get to the quarterback.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Michael Parsons is the real deal.
Let's go!
Hurts is swallowed up. Michael Parsons.
He is blasted by Parsons.
It's crazy what this kid is doing.
My defensive rookie of the year.
Pressure. Parsons has got it.
My defensive player of the year.
Parsons sacks him.
Michael Parsons.
He's starting to build a heck of a chapter and the beginning of a great career.
You know, from his podcast to courtside seats in the NBA playoffs to a trip to Asia, Micah Parsons has been all in this offseason. On the field, it's the same approach. Parsons just one of three players since sacks became official in 1982 with 40 sacks and 200 tackles in his first three seasons. Look at the list he joins. Hall of Famers and the late great ones. Reggie White and Derek Thomas. Not many people can wreck the game like Micah.
How would you define what a game wrecker is?
A game wrecker is a person, the offenses put that circle around you and saying, this is the guy that we have to stop.
Back to throw, looking, oh, he's chased. Parsons has got him again.
You have to take over the game. You have to make people fear what you are.
When I say the name Micah Parsons, what's the first word or thought that comes to your mind?
Girl, the brother can run.
Parsons coming! Parsons got it!
He can put one foot in front of the other. They put fear in your heart.
Flushed out by Parsons, sacked by Parsons.
He has to work on a couple other things.
Such as?
His inside move and his power move. But let me tell you, when he turns that corner and that offensive tackle starts leaning, he throws them across like a sack of potatoes. I'm amazed with some of the moves he makes.
Let's go!
It's almost like if you got a rubber band and you sort of pulled it back as far as you can, like a bow and arrow, and you just let it go. He did that every play.
Is there a play that comes to mind that really defines Micah Parsons as a game wrecker?
One play that I saw with Micah, he goes underneath, runs right into the guard, and he beats the guard. And then there's a running back right there. And so he ends up beating the running back and gets a sack.
He's hit! He's sacked by Parsons!
He lines up inside of a guard, and before they can blink, he's through the hole. And that's what LT did.
Yeah, you mine. You mine, baby.
And I still don't understand how they can just line up and before they blink an eye, they throw.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
I'll take you back to Bill Parcells, and I heard Lawrence Taylor stories every day about how to play. How to play with a tenacity. We always said, turn up the radio and make it as loud as possible. And that's what Lawrence Taylor did. With Micah, he has all the tools of the Lawrence Taylor, a knack to get to the quarterback. If Micah can be consistent this whole year, that's when he gets that Lawrence Taylor factor.
Pressure, good night, Nurse Parsons.
What is he talking about?
Without a doubt, there was no question, Lawrence Taylor changed the way that that position was played. How has Micah Parsons done that for this generation?
He's sacked by Parsons.
Teams are trying to draft players like Micah that can play outside, inside, right or left. And so that means that he's already changed the game. The only thing he has to do to seal his legacy is win a Super Bowl. If he can win a Super Bowl, let me tell you, untouchable.
Wow. When those two legends talk about Micah Parsons and they bring up Lawrence Taylor, my goodness, back here with Mina as well as Sam. Acho, now you just heard them use the word untouchable. If Parsons wins a Super Bowl ring, do you agree with that statement?
Not yet. The reason why is I go towards, number one, the longevity of what it looks like. You look at a guy like DeMarcus Ware, 12-year NFL career, 9 in Dallas, 3 in Denver, and a Super Bowl. I think about the plays he was able to make, right? Over an extended period of time, and also in the playoffs, too, right? Like, Micah Parsons has shown up in the regular season year after year after year. Now start doing it in the playoffs, and maybe that's what they're talking about. Man, you be the reason why your team wins. Think about Von Miller when he was with the Broncos and him taking that ball from Cam Newton in the Super Bowl. Plays like that are the plays you remember. And so all those things are elite and electric. I want to see it over a long period of time, a sustained period of time, but also in the postseason when it matters most.
Mina, we see the graphic with the impact in the regular season as well as the postseason. Micah is great in the regular season, but what concerns do you have for the rest of this Cowboys defense?
Yeah. Well, last year they were dominant, not just Parsons, but as a whole, the unit was dominant during the regular season. Then you saw some cracks as the year went on, culminating in the disappointment in the playoffs, which can be attributed to a few things, but I'll boil it down to the simplest reason. They ran out of linebackers, Kevin. They were playing, you know, a lot of safe dime, putting three safeties out there, doing whatever they could to account for the injuries that they had at the second level, but it wasn't enough. So their big signing this offseason, really their only signing in free agency of note, was bringing in Eric Kendricks, reuniting him with their new defensive coordinator, Mike Zimmer. I thought that was a good move, but I question whether it's enough given the issues that they had with depth there. In the draft, you know, in the first round, they go offensive line. Second round, they take a pass rusher, which was not an area of need for them. And while the Cowboys have drafted very well, so I'm kind of reluctant to question some of their choices, I do question whether or not we might see this same issue with them again, stopping the run, going up against teams that put lots of tight ends on the field, like what Buffalo did to them also at the end of the season. I think that could be an issue, as much talent as they have on that defensive line.
You mentioned a phrase, is it enough? And Cowboy fans have been asking that. The Cowboys rank last in free agency spending this year, just $13 million committed to free agents. That is $19 million less than the next lowest team, the Saints at $32 million. My goodness, good luck, Dallas. Still to come, let's talk about the other team in the NFC East that made a huge splash in the offseason. That is the Eagles with the signing of Saquon Barkley. Hear why one analyst believes Saquon makes Philly better before even playing a snap. All my jewels on bright, bright.
Your pockets on light, light. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
My Filipino heritage and just the Filipino culture overall has really inspired me as an athlete, from the resilient heart and just the hardworking mindset that we have out in the Philippines, and that all my family has showed me all my life has really shaped my walk in sports, being able to always have a mindset to just go above and beyond and to grind harder than anybody in the room. So I think my culture and the Filipino culture overall has really given me the heart and the spirit to be resilient no matter what the situation is, and that's really shaped my walk and my sports journey.
Love the message, Cameron. Check out our latest UFC bout on Saturday, the heavyweight main event, 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. We got some new video coming in here from Colts practice. How about this? We saw Joe Burrow on the practice field at the start of the show, and here is Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson out there today. Richardson coming off the injury to his throwing shoulder his rookie season. Great to see some stars back out there. Critical piece for that offense in Indy. Eagles rookie camp was this weekend. Howie Roseman specifically targeting an area of weakness in the secondary. Day one and day two of the draft with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. Here's Nick Sirianni on how he plans to use his two new defensive backs.
Cooper has obviously versatility. Quinyon has big play ability. They both have big play ability. Obviously we're not to a point where this guy's playing here or that guy's playing here or this guy's limited to just this. We're just out there right now getting some reps out there and seeing where they fit.
Curious about this answer here, Ancho, because another new addition to Philly is the new DC, and that is Vic Fangio. You played in his system in Chicago. How do you see these rookies fitting there?
Well, I'll start with the rookie that wasn't mentioned, Jalix Hunt out of Houston Christian. Jalix Hunt is a former safety who plays outside linebacker, edge rusher, and he has elite physical ability. Like, he's an unbelievable pass rusher with great bend, great quickness, and great strength. But why does it matter that he played safety before? Because I played in Vic's defense for 4 of my 9 NFL years. Vic wants guys who can rush the quarterback, but also guys who can play in coverage. That's what he wants to develop. And so Jalix Hunt can do them both. Watch him in coverage right now, the former safety. It's easy for him. And so now Vic can play base coverage when teams have 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 13. He can stay in base. So if he wants to go to nickel, Jalix can go and rush the quarterback. The number one. Number two, Cooper DeJean. I get excited about him at that nickel position. Why? Because one thing that Vic loves to do is bring nickel blitzes. It's simulated pressure. We call it the different kind of blitzes that I'm not going to say right now. But long story short, Vic loves to bring nickel pressure. And so if Cooper DeJean is in that nickel position, all of a sudden you have a guy who can play on the inside, play on the outside, and two stalwarts on his defense.
You got me excited. And we haven't even talked about the offense here. GM Howie Roseman had this to say about why he went outside his recent track record and went big at running back with Saquon Barkley this offseason. Listen to this.
From our perspective, you get to a situation where you kind of try to find, is something kind of being undervalued? Is there a way to zig when everyone's zagging? Or I don't know if it's the opposite and you're freaking zagging when zigging. But and I think that it's hard to find difference-making players and people. Really, I don't think there was anyone when he came out of the draft that didn't think that he wasn't a Hall of Fame caliber talent and person. And so he's still young, and we're really excited to have him.
Yeah, Barkley has been one of the most effective backs in the league since he entered the NFL in 2018. Just 4 players have averaged more scrimmage yards per game, and he's brought it against the Eagles. How about this? 7 touchdowns against Philly in his career, tied with Zeke Elliott for most in the NFL since 2018. Amina, I didn't write this segment. I had nothing to do with this, but I feel really good because the D-block is my favorite block so far. After such an awful finish to the season here, Amina, yeah, when you look at Saquon, how does he change things in this offense now that they have a new OC too in Kellen Moore?
Yeah, I think he offers a couple of solutions to problems that they had last year and that could potentially arise this year. So let's just start on the ground. This offensive line is losing. How we talked about Saquon being Hall of Fame caliber. They had a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer, pardon me, at center. He is no longer there. It seems more likely than not that the offensive line will take maybe a small step back, but a step back nevertheless. So they will be leaning more on their back to create, and Saquon can do just that. I mean, I don't care how many steps back the Eagles' offensive line takes. For him, going from what he dealt with the Giants' run blocking to Philly, well, that's about as big an upgrade as you can get. And then the other thing, and this is more of a problem we saw last year, one thing that happened last season that was one of the reasons behind the Eagles' struggles on offense was they faced more split safety coverages. They didn't get those one-on-ones on the outside. Answers to that. Dallas Goedert was injured, but he would be one potential answer for that. Another, hypothetically, would be a pass-catching back. For some reason, DeAndre Swift never really emerged in the previous iteration of the offense. I guarantee you, Saquon will be used in the pass game, and I think it'll help solve some of the issues they faced in terms of the types of coverages they ran into.
Cannot wait to watch that, especially specifically the running back catching the ball in the backfield. But I think when this signing happened, everybody was, we can't wait for the next video, and that is this. Saquon in the weight room and the battle of the squats between Jalen Hurts and Saquon taking place this weekend. Look at Jalen's reaction behind Saquon. Clearly happy to have him in Philly. Jalen now has an option with the brotherly shove inside the goal line. It's not just the QB keeper, right? Turn it around and hand the ball off to the quads. Coming your way. All right. Coming up here on NFL Live, the Houston Texans have added to their D-line this offseason. But hear why Mina thinks a specific group needs to improve for them to make a deeper run for next season. NFL Live is brought to you by Astepro Allergy, nasal allergy relief that starts working in 30 minutes.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
My man J.J. Watt called it a day. So I just thought I'd sit here and reminisce on the epitome of a big man balling. Y'all watch this with me and enjoy. Give the people what they want. Sack, J.J. Watty. Brock Purdy, listen, man, I know you the hot kid in town. I've been that. This is a handover. Double team. He's used to getting those. I'm going to sack you again, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me go out like this. You have entered the BMB Hall of Fame, sir.
Our guy, Marcus Spears, living his best life. May have sent J.J. Watt in the BMB Hall of Fame after Watt retired in 2022. But we know that J.J. has a lot of ties to the current Texans team that impressed last season, including playing with head coach DeMeco Ryans. Here's what J.J. said about a potential comeback.
I mean, I told DeMeco last year, I said, don't call unless you absolutely need it. But if you ever do call, I'll be there. And he knows not to call unless he absolutely needs it. This is the last year I'll tell him that because I'm not going to keep training the way I've been training. But he knows that if he ever truly does need it, I'll be there for him. But I don't anticipate that happening. They got a very good crew.
So you're saying there's a chance. DeMeco joking today at a golf event, quote, I need him now. Anytime J.J. Watt's ready to go, I'm ready to go. Some big changes with that Texans defense, losing Bernard and Rankins, Cashman, Perryman. They added a big haul there. And Danielle Hunter, you got Autry And then they spent their first pick on a corner, Kamari Lassiter, who can contribute right away. Acho here. What is available here? But the big question is, with this Texans stacked defensive line, what do you think of this group right now that we know is currently on the team?
Oh, I think they were elite level last year and only getting better. Why do I say that? Will Anderson Jr., third overall pick as a rookie last year. Will Anderson Jr. had over 60 pressures, but it's not just what he did on tape. It's what he is as a physical specimen. I got a chance to see him over the offseason. This dude is every bit of, he's listed 6'3 and a half. He looks 6'5, physical build, 250 plus. He's an animal. He was training with Myles Garrett, obviously defensive player of the year, but Myles Garrett is another training specimen. They're different animals. Then you go to the other side, Danielle Hunter, two elite level pass rushers. So when I look at those two guys on the edge, I think it's going to be a problem for any offense because of their length, their size, their speed, and shout out to their pass rush coach as well, who's on that team as well.
Amina, this team is riding high in the offseason, especially how they looked in the postseason with their young quarterback. If there's something that concerns you about the Texans defense, what is it?
Well, I'll start by saying Sam's absolutely right. The defensive line was excellent last year. And this unit as a whole, they finished as a top three run defense in the entire NFL and a top three pass rush in ESPN's pass rush win. I think that should be sustainable given some of the additions despite the departures. The reason why this wasn't one of the best defenses in the NFL despite that was issues in coverage. Even when they got pressure at times, they didn't hold up on the back end. And when they didn't get pressure, they allowed the ninth highest QBR in football. You highlighted some of the additions there. A lot of those were in the front. Two changes at cornerback, you bring in Jeff Okuda, you draft Kwame Lassiter, who is a corner. I really liked his tape in college, and I think he fell a little bit in the draft because of his athletic measurables and size, but I do believe he can start right away. But for me, this is the biggest question, the biggest challenge for D'Amico Ryans, who, of course, is a brilliant defensive coach. Can you get this defense to play better on the back end? Because on the front end, they should be one of the best groups in the NFL.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, I mean, and a great point. The only thing I'll go to is D'Amico Ryans when he was in San Francisco. What was San Francisco known for? They were known for their front four rushing as one. And so to your point, rushing coverage has to work together, but you can accelerate that rush. It'll actually put a little bit less pressure on the coverage. But yes, Jeff Okuda has to step up. Lassiter has to step up as a rookie. Those things have to happen for this team to be elite.
Okay, I got to admit, though, I'm tempted to see a fresh J.J. Watt join this team. And I know that there's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek here as they go back and forth, but it is a storyline that I don't think is going to go away, especially if he's staying in shape and the Texans continue to kind of move up. So I can't wait. Hey, that'll be it for this past hour. A lot of fun with Mina and Sam. I'm Kevin Nagani. We'll see you later tonight on SportsCenter.